Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Friday. And today's date is September 9th, 2022. I had to look at my calendar because I've been so busy today, I didn't even remember what day it is. But today also came with some very sad news. There are people globally who are mourning the loss of Queen Elizabeth, who passed yesterday. But there was another death that occurred this morning that no doubt will invoke the mourning and grieving of people globally, perhaps not the number of people who are aware of who Queen Elizabeth is, but to Reformed Baptists, there is a name that is near and dear to most of our hearts. His name is Walt Chantry, and he went home to be with the Lord today. And I, for one, am among those who are going to be grieving, but obviously that grief is tempered and lightened by the fact that I know exactly where Walt Chantry is right now, and he would never want to change places with any of us on the planet Earth, being with his Lord God, Savior, and King, who he served so faithfully and so powerfully for so many years. I hope to eventually conduct a tribute program to Walt Chantry in loving memory of him and an honor and tribute to him. So stay tuned for that. Walt was 84 years of age, and he was a prolific writer. He was among the pioneers in the mid-20th century, one of the pioneers bringing a resurgence of Calvinistic belief and practice to Baptists worldwide. And he was the pastor of the church where I am a member for 40 years. I believe he was the third pastor. The church was founded in the 1950s, and I believe Walt was the third pastor, but by far the pastor who was there the longest. He was there before I became a member, but I was very fully aware with Walt, and we developed a friendship, and I interviewed him a number of times on the program, have become close to his wife, his mourning widow, Joey. And I also extend my condolences to you, Joey, if you're eventually going to be listening to this via recording. And my prayers are with you and your family, that the Lord gives you the peace that surpasses all understanding. And that is, again, Walt Chantry, Reformed Baptist author, pastor, and mentor to many in the faith, went home to be with the Lord today at the age of 84. And keep in touch or stay tuned to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio for updates on when we will have a tribute program to dear Walt Chantry. I'm very excited to have a guest today for the very first time. His name is Delano Squires. He is a research fellow in the Richard and Helen DeVos Center for Life, Religion, and Family at the Heritage Foundation. He's a contributor to Blaze Media, who writes about faith, family, and culture, as well as Blaze TV's Fearless with Jason Whitlock podcast. He's an essayist, having been published by Newsweek, the Institute for Family Studies, The Federalist, Black and Married with Kids, The Root, and The Griot. And he's a speaker on the roster at the upcoming conference that I will be attending next week, manning an exhibitor's booth for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, as I do every year, the 2022 G3 Regional Conference in Washington, D.C. And today we're going to be addressing the forces of our culture trying to undermine God's design for men and women. It's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time ever to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Delano Squires.
Thank you for having me, Chris. I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, Delano, we have a tradition here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Whenever we have a first-time guest, we like that guest to give a summary of their salvation testimony that would include the kind of religious atmosphere in which they were raised, if any, and what kind of providential circumstances our sovereign Lord raised up in their lives that drew them to himself and saved them, and that would include you, so I would love to hear your story.
Sure. So I grew up in New York City, in Queens, and my parents came to this country in the late 70s, early 80s, from a small island in the Caribbean called Barbados. And for as long as I remember, I was, you know, we went to church on Sundays and raised in the church and, you know, in an environment with my best friends. You know, one of my best friends, his father was the pastor of the church that he ended up going to for many years, that I ended up going to for many years before I left for college. So I was raised in a Christian home in a very sort of Christ-centered community. But if I were to pinpoint a particular day or time in which I quote-unquote got saved, it was September 16, 2001, so 5 days after 9/11. And first year in college, sophomore year of college. And, you know, heard about the planes crashing into the Twin Towers and into the field in Pennsylvania, and I was going to school in Pennsylvania, so that one struck a little bit, you know, close to home. And I don't know, for whatever reason, I felt prompted to take the walk down the aisle, as it were, and that's the day that I would typically, if someone asked me for my salvation sort of story, it starts there, but it certainly doesn't end there, because I wasn't living as someone whose actions would suggest he prioritized God's word and his holiness and righteousness. So over a period of years, I think God was refining me and cleaning me and maturing me, sanctifying me, so that by the time I got into my early 30s and was married, was taking the word a lot more seriously. We were going to a church that, you know, my wife and I, that we really liked. And then I came across Reformed theology, and
well, that's when you—that's when you were really saved. I'm only kidding.
Right.
I'm only kidding.
But that really opened up my mind to a lot of things, because I realized there were certain things that you know, I had not been hearing in the church that we were attending at the time. And I realized that I didn't, even though I had read, you know, different parts of the Bible, I didn't understand how the Bible fit together as one sort of cohesive, coherent, unified story. And then from there, I just began to understand things in a different way. So again, I would say, let's say September 16, 2001, but again, God and his abundant grace and mercy was just continuing to work on me, mature me, and sanctify me over the course of a decade. So I would certainly say that I'm much more spiritually mature now than I was, you know, when I was a 19-year-old at college.
Okay. And how did you come providentially to meet Virgil Walker and Daryl Bernard Harrison of the Just Thinking podcast?
Sure. So I was a fan of Daryl and Virgil and Just Thinking long before I met them in person. I'm not sure how I came across their podcast, to tell you the truth. I might have seen it online, seen it on Twitter. But I started to listen to the podcast. And one day I was putting together a playhouse for my kids. And I'm not the most handy guy in the world. So they said it would take, I don't know, 3 to 4 hours. It took me about 8 or 9 hours. But I just was consuming their podcast. And for Daryl and Virgil, 9 hours, maybe four episodes, you know, 4 to 5 episodes. But I just was impressed by their willingness to turn pages, as they always say, right? To dig into primary source material, but always keeping the scripture as sort of their reference point, right? Always the ruler by which they measure any other type of content, regardless of who's writing it or what the topic is. So, at a certain point when I started, you know, while I was writing, I think maybe for the Federalist and certainly the Blaze, sometimes I would share, you know, my articles with them, and, you know, sometimes I would write on matters of faith, particularly as they related to issues of culture. So we began to correspond online, particularly on Twitter. And then I had the pleasure of meeting them at the G3 conference. This would have been, I think, last October, in Atlanta. And then from there, we hit it off, very like-minded, and that's how I ended up meeting them in person. So since then, we've just stayed in regular contact, and now Virgil is a contributor to Fearless, to the Fearless with Jason Whitlock podcast as well. So that relationship has only deepened over the last, you know, year or two.
Well, praise God for that. And I probably should have asked you this first, but how did you become such a in-demand essayist and writer for some very major Christian organizations and conservative organizations?
Honestly, Chris, I'm still trying to figure that one out myself. So my journey as it relates to public commentary, I would say it's fairly unique. I am not a writer by trade, whatever that means. I studied computer engineering in college. I didn't take any writing classes. I think the last time I took an actual writing course was probably in high school. But I'm someone who's always been able to think clearly, and then the writing just follows, you know, along with the thinking. But I started to write publicly for a website called Black and Married with Kids. This is probably about 2010. And the site was created by a couple who wanted to provide more positive images of Black families, and particularly as it relates to marriage and child rearing. And then from there, I started to write for a site called The Root. So, you know, The Root covers all different types of issues, you know, politics and culture, but cater to an African-American audience. The same with The Griot. So I wrote for The Root and The Griot. And then I had my own blog for a period of time. And then I decommissioned that. And then when I resurfaced, I pitched a few pieces to the Federalists that they took, including a review of Fault Lines by Pastor Woody Bauckham. And then I ended up with The Blaze. So I'm probably the only person in America who can say he's written for The Root, The Griot, The Federalist, and The Blaze, and who can say he's been edited by both Joy Reid and Jason Whitlock.
Yeah, that is an interesting opposite pair of people.
Tell
us something about what you intend to speak on, if you know yet, at the upcoming G3 Regional Conference in Washington, D.C. I'm very excited about it. I've been to every G3 in Atlanta, I believe, for the last 6 years. And this is my first regional conference where I'm manning an exhibitor's booth, as I always do at the G3 conference. And it's always a phenomenal experience manning an exhibitor's booth for Iron Trip and Zion Radio at the G3 conference, not only because I meet so many people that I never would have otherwise heard from, likely, who love my show, who approach me at the booth and tell me how blessed they are, people from all over the United States and even other parts of the world, but also to introduce it, my program, to new listeners. And there are many who have contacted me over the years to tell me that they began listening after meeting me at my exhibitor's booth at the G3 conference. So what is your intended subject at this event?
So I know the event is about biblical, the sufficiency of the scriptures. I'm not sure what our specific panel is going to be about, but I mean, in general, I write and talk a lot about the importance of marriage. Depending on the venue, I may lean more into its cultural and social importance, but always thinking with an eye to its importance as it relates to God's created order, right? So I write a lot about marriage and family and fatherhood, but also about, theological matters. I'm not a pastor, so I'm a layman, and I'm very upfront with that. But I believe that it's important for every believer to be well-versed in the scriptures and to understand, the various threats, sometimes direct and explicit, and other times, more hidden, threats to both religious liberty and, God's role as creator, right? So I tend to say that the designer is the definer. So when you see people arguing that men can get pregnant and that abortion is healthcare, these are ways in which, oftentimes government, whether local, state, or federal, ends up exceeding its authority on these types of matters, and it tries to, bring unto itself an authority that it does not have by attempting to redefine things that God has already defined in Scripture. So I figure we'll get into some of those issues. I mean, this is all-star cast, of pastors and theologians. People involved in politics and the culture wars. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. But I don't have any specific remarks prepared. But as I said, I'm really looking forward to the conference.
Praise God! And by the way, if anybody would like to join Delano and me at the G3 conference coming up next week, the 15th through the 17th of September, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, go to g3min.org, G3MIN, an abbreviation for ministry, g3min.org, and all the details will be there when you click events. We are going to our first break right now, and when we return, we're going to be addressing the subject that we have allotted for today, and that is the forces of our culture trying to undermine God's design for men and women. And if you have a question of your own for Delano on this, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state, and your country of residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back with more of Delano Squires right after these messages from our sponsors.
Hi, I'm Pete Hegseth, co-host of Fox and Friends Weekend. Now, I don't have to tell you, but American education, it's in a free fall, crumbling under the weight of a century of damage inflicted upon America's academic system. The answer? It's called classical Christian education, a form of K through 12 ed that's very distinct from the type of education most Americans have received, myself included. And that's why I'm so excited to have been invited by my friends at Long Island's Grace Christian Academy to talk about this wonderful growing movement and new approach rediscovered to education. It's at 7 p.m. October 15th at the Marriott Hotel and Conference Center in Melville, New York. I'll also be signing copies of my New York Times bestselling book, Battle for the American Mind, for the first 50 guests starting at 6 p.m. Now, this is a fundraising event designed to raise money to help grow this type of education at a time when it is so desperately needed. So please come ready to give and to learn about a way to stimulate academic revival in our great country. You can purchase tickets for the event by visiting gcali.com and following the link to the gala event. I hope to see you there.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here, excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading to Washington, D.C. for the G3 Ministries Regional Conference on the theme, Just Thinking About the Bible. The conference will be held Thursday, September 15th through Saturday, September 17th, and I'll be speaking along with Stephen Lawson, Josh Weiss, founder of G3 Ministries, and Daryl Bernard Harrison and Virgil Walker, co-hosts of the Just Thinking podcast. To register, visit g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and click on Events. Your registration will include a ticket to the Museum of the Bible nearby the conference venue in Washington, D.C. So join me and Chris Arnzen September 15th through the 17th in Washington, D.C. for the G3 Ministries Regional Conference. Register now before they run out of seats at g3min.org, that's g3min.org. Stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnzen while you're there.
Have you noticed the gap that exists between the Sunday morning sermon and the Sunday school classroom or the small group study? So often we experience great preaching from the pulpit, but when it comes time to study God's Word in those smaller settings, well, let's be honest, it leaves a lot to be desired. It seems like it is nearly impossible to find good curriculum out there today that is true to the Word of God and is built upon sound doctrine. Much less, it's hard to find curriculum that will actually teach people how to study the Bible. Hi there, my name is Jordan Tu, and I am the Executive Director of the Baptist Publishing House. Our ministry is dedicated to providing local churches with sound Bible study resources. Our quarterly curriculum is titled The Baptist Expositor, and for a good reason. We are Baptist, and we exegete the Scriptures. If you want to have a curriculum that teaches your people how to study the Word of God, I invite you, go to our website, download a free study, BaptistPublishingHouse.com. May God bless you.
Satan is the father of lies and spin, and the mother of those lies is a government who has rejected God. We have especially been lied to these last 2 years, and the COVID panic has been one of the central mechanisms that our government has used to lie to us and grab more power. Because Christians have not been reading their Bibles, we are susceptible to lies and are weak in our ability to fight these lies. God has given us His Word to fight Satan and his lies, and we need to recover all of God's Word, its serrated edge and all. Mark your calendars for October 6th through 8th as we fight, laugh, and feast to the glory of God in Knoxville, Tennessee. You'll be enlightened, edified, encouraged, and challenged by 10 speakers on the theme, lies, propaganda, storytelling, and the serrated edge, covering various topics that address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Speakers include Pastor Doug Wilson of Christ Church of Moscow, Idaho, and the whole gang at the Cross Politics Show and Podcast. For details, visit FLFnetwork.com. That's F for fight, L for laugh, F for feast, network.com. See you there October 6th through 8th in Knoxville, Tennessee.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking Podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Buck, a First Baptist Church in Glendale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Grimaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step-by-step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they are continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please do not forget that for the first month of advertising with Royal Diadem Jewelers, they are donating 100% of the profits for any sale of jewelry of $100 or more to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We're getting all the profits for the first month, and there's about two more weeks in their first month, if you mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So whether you're purchasing a piece of jewelry they already have in stock, or you're having a customized engagement ring, or perhaps you're even turning your church logo or your parachurch ministry logo into a piece of jewelry like a pendant or a ring, as long as you mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, within about two more weeks, we are getting 100% of the profits from any sale of $100 or more from Royal Diadem Jewelers. So go to royaldiadem.com, royaldiadem.com today, and make sure you mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We are now back with Delano Squires, and we are discussing, I think, a very important theme, one of the most important themes of our day, the forces of our culture trying to undermine God's design for men and women. And if you have a question, send it to chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Before I even get into the heart of this theme, I was just curious about how your worldview may have changed and your political affiliations and all those kinds of things when you became a Christian, because I know people who I trust are actually regenerate, born again, brothers and sisters in Christ. But for the life of me, I'm astonished that a number of them, probably a minority of them, but a number of them still vote for every single Democrat running for office when they have a vote in that race. They still, even if they are personally opposed to the murder of unborn children and maybe personally opposed to the LGBTQ agenda and same-sex marriage, they still think there are far more benefits to voting for Democrats and keeping them in office, which is mind-blowing to me. But how much of your worldview changed, and how quickly did it change?
That's a great question. So the first thing that changed for me is even thinking about these issues from the perspective, from a worldview perspective. Because when I was growing up, the term worldview was not one that I heard at all. And the reason that's important is because, you know, a worldview speaks to, you know, a more comprehensive perspective on issues. So I liken my worldview before as it's like a man who owns a house, and let's say it's a 20-room house, and for me, my faith occupied one room, but it was in a separate room, so closed off, down the hallway from how I thought about money and how I thought about relationships and how I thought about politics and so on and so on and so forth. And now the way I think about these issues is that God owns the house, and you know, his word, his definition, his law make up the foundation of the house. So the only reason that the entire structure stands is because God is the foundation, both the foundation of the structure and the owner of the structure. So everything that I think about, economics and law, culture and relationships and money, now rests on those set of, you know, biblical presuppositions. So it is a significant change. Now, on some issues, I may end up in the same place, but I'm getting there for different reasons. Sometimes it's slightly different reasons, sometimes drastically different reasons. So, for instance, I remember, and I'll this is a personal story, I believe that I voted in favor of what was called marriage equality, quote-unquote, in Maryland, in the 2012 election, because my position is, well, you know, who is the government to tell two consenting adults what they can do, and you know, if a man and a woman can get married, and discrimination of a man and a man can get married. So I was exactly the type of person you described, right? Personally against same-sex marriage, but believing that the government didn't have standing to keep people from doing so.
Right. There are a number of right-leaning libertarians who may personally vehemently oppose same-sex marriage for theological or other reasons, but they still don't believe it should be the government's business to be involved in anybody's marriage. They would be more concerned about how the government may impose upon everyone an acceptance of those marriages and a celebration of those marriages.
Mm-hmm. Right, and there are areas in which libertarians and conservatives overlap on issues, and in the areas of deep disagreement, because you know the libertarian focus is always, you know, on maximizing individual liberty, but it's liberty and freedom to do what exactly, right? So taking the libertarian perspective to its logical end, there would be nothing that would stop, you know, a government from sanctioning, supporting, or legalizing, quote unquote, marriage between two men and one woman, or between four men, or six women, or two men, two women, and two dogs, right? And this may sound outlandish, but they don't have a limiting principle. So for them, it's just, well, if consenting adults want to do it, then the government shouldn't stand in the way of it. And a lot of people may feel that way, but they don't realize that there are downstream effects to all of these decisions, because ultimately all laws are moral, right? Whether it's tax law or criminal law, all of these things speak to what a given population of people at a given time believe are the right thing, right and wrong things, you know, to do. And our laws speak to that. So I definitely have had, you know, my mind change. And to me, that's what believers should, that should be the testimony for every believer, right? I thought one way when I was unregenerate, and then I began to think a different way when I became regenerate. And even within that, I began to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. So now I believe different things than I did then, because I'm a more mature believer at this point now.
Well, we have, let's see, I'm looking for, we have some listener questions coming in. And okay. Here it is. We have a question from an Orthodox Jewish listener who actually enjoys this program from time to time, even though it is clearly a Christian program. And Robert from Great Neck, Long Island, New York, says several times on the Fearless show, Jason Whitlock, who I think is amazing, has said the executives putting out the filth in media and music are Jews. Are they Jews because they eat a bagel? Do they actually follow the tenets of the Jewish Bible? The answer is obvious, so why stress their un-Jewish Jewishness? I guess he's referring to nominal Jews, obviously. For quite a long time, perhaps even centuries, people will categorize somebody as a Jew just because it has something to do with their family heritage. They will call Woody Allen a Jew, and Woody Allen is an atheist, or he's certainly not a practicing believer of the Hebrew Scriptures and so on. So do you know anything about that exactly, what our listener in Great Neck is referring to?
I believe I do. It's happened, you know, come up in conversation a couple of times with Luke. And I mean, people will reference this from time to time in general, right? They will speak to, Jewish executives in Hollywood or media. And oftentimes people respond to that, you know, by saying that the reference itself is anti-Semitic. I don't necessarily agree with that. Now, my position on this, I try not to ever speak for other people, but my position on this is this. I try not to bring up a person's ethnicity or religion unless it's pertinent to my argument, right?
Or even pertinent to what their religion is. It might be exactly according to the tenets of that religion.
Correct. So for instance, if I'm criticizing someone who practices X religion, and my criticism is in relation to a particular practice that religion sanctions, then I think it's more than relevant to say, okay, this religion believes in, I don't know, in child sacrifice. So I think the people who are pushing abortion in this country are doing it in some respects because they practice this faith. I think that's totally fair. There are other times, and I get the listener's question, where, particularly when it relates to Jews and media, people will say, well, this person is secular. They're not really, you know, a practicing Jew. Now, I have no way of knowing who's practicing and who's not. I can't speak to that part of the equation. But we live in a country in which everyone categorizes other people by race, or skin color, ethnicity, religion, when it suits their argument. So as much as people, for instance, will say that they're colorblind, when it's time to talk about, you know, violent crime in big cities, all of a sudden people can start to see again and say, oh, wow, well, it's young black men doing it. Now, is it the case that these young men are doing it because of some biological defect? I certainly would argue that it's not the case. But people still bring up their skin color as a description of who is committing certain offenses. And I think as it relates to these issues, it's a similar type of dynamic. So,
but go ahead.
No, I was going to say, but I do think that this is an interesting area, because I've even thought about this as it relates to the Christian faith, which obviously is different than the Jewish faith in terms of, is not, you know, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, but among Jewish people, if a person's mother is Jewish, then the child is considered Jewish, right? Christians don't have that sort of matrilineal, patrilineal,
right,
passing down of the faith.
And I'm not even sure that that's a canonical teaching of the Hebrew Scriptures either.
Right. But one thing that I've certainly noticed is that there are people, and I notice this particularly, you know, people who will say that they grew up in a black church, who are familiar with the Christian saying, Christianese, as it were, grew up in church, went to church with grandma, sat on the pew, sang the hymns, swayed with the choir, but have no interest or there's no sign that they are practicing the faith of their ancestors today.
Right.
Right. And I think it's a similar thing where a person may be familiar with the tradition and may have some respect and honor sometimes for the tradition, but are not actually practicing the faith. And the question is, to what extent should that person still be identified by the faith that they're associated with? And I mean, I think I don't always have the answer for that, but I'm a person that doesn't believe that any group is above criticism. It's just, I try to make sure that if I'm engaging in public commentary or especially particularly criticism, that I'm careful to hit my target for the intended purpose, right? Because I'm always trying to minimize collateral damage. So I don't believe in scapegoating people, but I don't think we should be afraid to tackle tough subjects when these things come up.
Yeah, so basically you're saying you disagree with your friend and colleague's choosing and timing of using referencing the Jewish people when it comes to the creation of hellish music and other forms of art.
I'm not saying I disagree. I'm saying I will let Whitlock speak for himself, and two, I'm saying I can't speak to the extent to which their self-professed Jewishness impacts their decision.
Right.
So for example, let me pose a thought experiment. I've thought about this. I don't know if I've ever written it, but I thought to myself, would these executives support, market music, art, culture, TV shows, movies in which the artists, right, were shown shooting, killing, demeaning, degrading people who look like their daughters? Right?
Yeah, interesting.
I highly doubt it. I highly doubt that these executives, even, we're also, and all of them are not Jewish, to be clear, all of them are not Jewish. Some are, many are not. But any of them, whether they are white, black, Jewish, Italian, because they all fall into different sort of ethnic groups or religious groups, I would wonder whether they would allow their own children, people who look like their children, people from their communities, their own neighborhoods, to be depicted in the ways in which they are comfortable depicting certain black communities. Mm-hmm. My sense is that they would not do that. So I think it raises the question, is there an ethical responsibility that people have to not, you know, produce art that they know is cancerous to a culture? And you can tell that they know it because they wouldn't do it for their own kids. Now, I first asked that question to the artist, because the artists are the ones who say that they're doing this for their community and they're speaking for their community. But I think it's a fair question to ask to the executives as well, regardless of who they are, what they look like, or how they identify.
By the way, I would love to have Jason Whitlock on the show. I'm a huge admirer of his. I'm not saying that I necessarily disagree with what our listener, Robert from Great Neck is speaking of, because I didn't hear it and I didn't see it in context. But I think that he is an amazing brother in Christ and a very bold voice for truth, unwavering and uncompromising. And I would love to have him on the program as well, if you could put in a good word. We'll have Robert's question read again when he is present. One thing that I can say to put my two cents into this situation, sometimes those kinds of comments are relevant. For instance, when you may be referring to many politicians who are liberal and leftist siding in favor of the Palestinians during a skirmish or some kind of a battle or problem or violence with Israel or Israelites, I think it's completely proper to say, and some of these or many of these liberal politicians are Jewish, that are siding with the Palestinians. The reference makes sense because it's in context. It's a point of amazement. It's almost as if you're saying that, in fact, I could say this having researched the issue, the American Nazi Party, founded by George Lincoln Rockwell, actually had Jewish members. They were closeted Jewish members, for some reason, who hated their own families and their own heritage, and were eventually outed. One of them committed suicide when he was outed. But that's the kind of thing, I think, that because of the context, a comment like that makes perfect sense, to say something like, and even some of them are Jewish, or many of them are what have you. But thank you, Robert. And guess what? Since you're a first-time questioner, you're going to receive a New American Standard Bible. I hope you read the second half of that Bible as well as the first, meaning the New Testament. And give us your full mailing address in Great Neck, Long Island, New York, and Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com. We'll ship that out to you. And I hope you enjoy reading that, even if it's just for educational purposes. But one thing is interesting that, Delano, you and I know that, according to the Apostle Paul, these nominal Jews that our listener is referring to, you and I are more Jewish than they are, because Paul says that to be a Jew is one inwardly and not one outwardly, and it involves the circumcision of the heart. And so, therefore, those who are actually regenerate believers in Christ are true Jews. That's according to the New Testament. That's no controversial kind of a statement and should not be ever taken as an anti-Semitic remark. Just happens to be true from a Christian viewpoint. But we're going to our midway break right now, folks. Please be patient with us because it's the longer than normal break. And we are going to be right back after this longer-than-normal break with Delano Squires, so don't go away.
Hi, I'm Pete Hegseth, co-host of Fox and Friends Weekend. Now, I don't have to tell you, but American education, it's in a free fall, crumbling under the weight of a century of damage inflicted upon America's academic system. The answer? It's called classical Christian education, a form of K-12 ed that's very distinct from the type of education most Americans have received, myself included. And that's why I'm so excited to have been invited by my friends at Long Island's Grace Christian Academy to talk about this wonderful growing movement and new approach rediscovered to education. It's at 7 p.m. October 15th at the Marriott Hotel and Conference Center in Melville, New York. I'll also be signing copies of my New York Times best-selling book, Battle for the American Mind, for the first 50 guests starting at 6 p.m. Now, this is a fundraising event designed to raise money to help grow this type of education at a time when it is so desperately needed. So please come ready to give and to learn about a way to stimulate academic revival in our great country. You can purchase tickets for the event by visiting gcali.com and following the link to the gala event. I hope to see you there.
It's such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to the Westminster standards, and Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
All men in ministry leadership, you're all invited to my friend Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon, Thursday, September 22nd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, featuring me, James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, your keynote speaker. Not only will you enjoy a wonderful time of fellowship with your colleagues in ministry over a delicious meal, but you'll also receive dozens of free brand new books donated by Christian publishers all over the United States and the United Kingdom, personally selected by Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So if you're a pastor, an elder, a deacon, a parachurch leader, or any other man in ministry leadership, please register for the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon today by calling 631-291-7002. 631-291-7002, or by visiting ironsharpensironradio.com, ironsharpensironradio.com. This is James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, hoping to see you Thursday, September 22nd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, for Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon.
Near retirement or thinking about retiring, you probably have questions. How do you make your savings last? How much should you take out and when? You're ready for retirement, but are your finances? Art Amundson, an Edward Jones financial advisor, can help you build a strategy to help make sure your finances keep up with your long-term needs. Do what it takes to get there. Now it's time to make the most of retirement. Visit edwardjones.com. That's edwardjones.com. Or call 717-258-4688. 717-258-4688. We here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio are forever grateful for the generous financial support of Art Amundson, Edward Jones Financial Advisor in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Call 717-258-4688 today.
Anchored in Truth Ministries is the mission arm of Grace Life Church of the Shoals. Based in Alabama, it supports missionaries in over 13 countries around the world. Anchored in Truth is in partnership with 36 church plants, as well as radio stations, theological seminaries, and various programs for unreached people groups. With an aim to glorify God and reach the nations with the gospel, it is a blessing to see how God has used Anchored in Truth in so many different contexts globally as well as locally. To find out more about this vital work worldwide, visit anchoredintruth.org.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please never forget to make your very first stop for all your gift-giving needs, solid-ground-books.com. They publish and bring back into print nothing but the finest in Christian literature dating back to the Protestant Reformation and extending forward to our present day, including such modern-day authors as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. At solid-ground-books.com, purchase frequently, purchase generously. Always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to Delano Squires about our theme today that we have been discussing, the forces of our culture trying to undermine God's design for men and women, we just have a couple of very important announcements to make. If you love this show, folks, we are in urgent need of your finances in order to continue to broadcast this program. Please, if you love the show, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card. If you prefer snail mail, mailing a physical check to a physical address, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio at your local post office. If you want to advertise with us, as long as whatever it is you want to promote is compatible with what I believe, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign. You don't have to believe exactly as I do, but you need to be promoting something that is at the very least compatible with what I believe. Send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Remember, folks, I never want anybody to dig in to the money that they have set aside to give to their own local church where they are a member in order to give Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a financial gift. Please don't, in other words, give your own church less money than you're accustomed to bless us financially. Never do that. And also, if you're really struggling to survive and make ends meet, please wait until you are financially stable and back on your feet before you give us a gift. Those two things are commands of God in Scripture, providing for church and providing for your family. Providing for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio may not be a command of God, of course, but if you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands of providing for church and family, you have extra money collecting interest in the bank, you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and trivial purposes, please share some of that money with us if indeed you don't want us to disappear. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Also, if you are not a member of a biblically faithful, Christ-honoring church, no matter where you live on the planet Earth, I may be able to help you find a church, as I have done already with many listeners in our audience spanning the globe. Sometimes I've found churches for listeners that are just a few minutes from their own homes. I may be able to help you as well in that area. If you are without a biblically solid church home, send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line, no matter where in the world you live. And that also goes for anybody that you know and love who is without a biblically solid church home. And don't forget, folks, there's a couple of things. I want to make sure that everybody listening who is a man in ministry leadership who wants to attend the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon that you've been hearing advertised by my friend Dr. James R. White, who is the keynote speaker at the luncheon, please send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com and put "Pastor's Luncheon" in the subject line, if you are a man in ministry leadership, that's pastor, elder, deacon, leader of a parachurch ministry. And that's Thursday, September 22nd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania. Not only is admission free and your meal free, but you'll also get heavy sacks of free brand new books donated by generous publishers all over the United States and United Kingdom that have been personally selected by me for this event. All of it's absolutely free. This lunch was a brainchild of my precious late wife, Julie, back in the 1990s. And I continue to run these luncheons after her homegoing to Jesus Christ in loving memory of her and in honor and tribute to her. So I hope you can make it Thursday, September 22nd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania for the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastor's Luncheon. And the newest development, as you may have heard, is that on the following Saturday, the 24th of September, we are running a debate at that same location in Loysville, Pennsylvania, a theological debate between Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and also Dr. Peter Van Kleek, who will be defending the Textus Receptus only position that has been named by many Reformed Baptists confessional bibliology. Dr. Van Kleek is defending that, and Dr. James R. White is opposing that. That is open to everyone, men, women, and children, absolutely free, Saturday, September 24th, 4 p.m. For more details, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put debate in the subject line. That's also the email address where you could send in a question to Delano Squires, and our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. I just wanted to very quickly insert here, in case somebody was confused by my comments about why it sometimes makes sense in context to say many Jews do this or many Jews do that. In regard to rap music and much of the art forms, so-called, that have been denounced as being satanic and being anti-Christian. And, of course, there are also Christian rappers who would be vehemently opposed to that categorization of the art form itself. Obviously, they would be equally outraged by much of the content of secular rap music. But I think that possibly Jason Whitlock was referring to the fact that many in the leftist culture, including much of the hip-hop culture, are openly anti-Semitic. So that might have been a reason for the comment that this is financially backed very often by Jewish people. That could have been the context, but I don't know. But anyway, we have a listener for you, Delano, who says, as far as the same-sex marriage issue goes and all of the things that come under the category of LGBTQ, and now there's even more letters and numbers added to that that I don't even remember, how is it that at one time, until very recently, you had your typical average black folk, even in the church, who were very opposed to those things, even if they voted for liberal political candidates, but it has become more and more accepted universally as things that are acceptable behavior and practices? You have an answer, Delano?
I think part of it is, at a certain point, I'd say since the 1960s, black racial identity has been fused with Democratic Party politics. So I think for a lot of black people, particularly black liberals, black progressives, black Democrats, they see their well-being or futures or you know, social and political outcomes that's inextricably linked to the future of the Democratic Party. So as the party moves, so do black progressives, right? So that's how you see, that's why you see, and I've written about this extensively, since the Dobbs decision came down that overturned abortion, the quote-unquote right to abortion in the Constitution, a number of prominent black pastors, so I'm thinking of Senator Raphael Warnock, who's also a quote-unquote pastor, who leads the church that Dr. King used to lead, right, Ebenezer Baptist Church in Georgia, in Atlanta. Reverend William Barber, who's a very prominent activist, who also, I believe, has a church in North Carolina. And a number of other people, I could go down the entire list, but they all sound like secular atheists when they talk about abortion. They talk about, you know, a woman's right to choose, always using, you know, euphemistic language, never straightforward in terms of killing the unborn. And part of it is because they are completely beholden to the Democratic Party. And I hate to sound so partisan, but it's true. And another factor here is that some of these people, their worst nightmare would be being tied to white conservative evangelicals, particularly Trump voters. So what you'll hear oftentimes is, well, I'm personally pro-life, but, you know, the government shouldn't tell women what to do with their bodies, and this whole abortion thing is being pushed by white conservative evangelicals. And I think that's another reason that many self-professed black Christians end up backing things that so clearly go against the scriptures. But again, this is an area which, you know, going back to what we were talking about before, in which naming specific groups by their identity characteristics is seen as acceptable, right? So, and I think it's relevant in this case, because these are people who claim to hold to a particular religious tradition, but so clearly betray that position because of partisan politics.
Well, before I go to any more listener questions, we have several people waiting to have their questions asked and answered by you, but I wanted to get to some of the primary reasons, or should I say, the primary forces of our culture, which is the theme of our day, the primary forces of our culture trying to undermine God's design for men and women. Can you be more detailed and specific about some of these? I mean, obviously, a number of them are very obvious, but it doesn't mean that they don't bear repeating and be analyzed more clearly, if you could.
Sure. I mean, I think the easy way to address this is I'll start here. I think outside of, you know, I don't want to use conservative because oftentimes that sounds political, but like theologically solid biblical churches and other people of, you know, other religious faiths who hold to traditional teachings on sex and gender, basically every other institution has been corrupted and is undermining God's design for men and women. This includes every level of government, starting from the federal government. The Biden administration's stated position is that, quote-unquote, gender-affirming care for children should include the social transition of children. So that's, for instance, a school using a different name and opposite sex pronouns for a child who identifies as the opposite sex. This is medicinal transition. So this is the use of puberty blockers for children, cross-sex hormones for adults, and surgical transition. So this is everything from quote-unquote gender-affirming hysterectomies for teenage girls to double mastectomies to, I think it's called like a penile inversion. This is what they do for the boys. And all of these things are signed off on by the medical establishment. So it's in the government. It's certainly in the schools. Anyone who has a child that's in K-12 has certainly, if they're paying attention, has seen how radical schools have gotten in terms of gender ideology, sexual orientation and gender ideology, both in the curriculum, classroom instruction, and then, you know, you'll see signs and pride flags and so on and so forth around the school to create a particular culture of, they would call, inclusion. So it's government, it's schools, and it's corporations. You know, everyone saw in May, everyone had up their, you know, blue and yellow, I support Ukraine flags. And then come June, those flags got tossed out of the window, and then everyone was raising their pride flag. And corporate America is one of the biggest advocates of these things. It's easier to count the number of corporations that do not engage in pride pandering in June than it is to list out the ones that do. And for instance, when the Equality Act came up, and the Equality Act was a piece of legislation, I think, passed the House. I don't think it has come up for a vote in the Senate yet. But the crux of it would, the Equality Act would change federal law such that gender identity would be included in, you know, would be a protected category, as is the case with sex and race, right? So if the Equality Act passes and becomes law, then transgender students would be able to, a boy would be able to compete in women's sports all across the country. And the vast majority of Fortune 500 companies, including Amazon, Google, signed on in support of the Equality Act. So government, education, both K-12 and certainly higher education, corporations, and then the other big one is the media. And what I often say is that the corporate press basically runs a media laundering operation where they have, there are activists and other, you know, government actors who push these types of, you know, radical ideologies in the public. And the media basically washes them and makes them clean. So the media will take, again, double mastectomies and hysterectomies for children, and they will spin that into gender-affirming care, right? They make it sound very benign. And then when people hear, oh, wow, gender-affirming care, I'm for that. And then once that cleaning takes place, right, once the idea, the dirty idea is washed and declared clean, then the media acts in concert with the forces behind the campaign. So again, this is a radical ideologues, academics, corporations, government agents, to exert maximum pressure on the rest of society to conform to their particular worldview. So the media is one of the biggest forces undermining, you know, God's definition of male and female, because these journalists and, you know, people who write for The Atlantic and The Washington Post and The New York Times, these are the people that make these ideas seem legitimate and respectable. When The New York Times said that, you know, Rachel Levine, born Richard Levine, is the first female, not even a transgender woman, but the first female admiral, four-star admiral in you know, U.S. history, they were legitimizing an idea that would be rejected if it came. And I've said this to my wife before, if this gender ideology stuff started on, you know, at the Jiffy Lube, or, you know, started at the barbershop among people, you know, working class people, no one would take it seriously. No, so it's just, you know, guys talking. But because it starts on college campuses, where most of society's truly terrible ideas start, then they have a certain air of legitimacy, and all of these different, you know, institutions sign on to it, which makes it even harder to root out, because now the people who believe in the gender binary are the ones who are on the defensive, and the ones who believe that there are an infinite number of genders are the ones who are taken seriously.
Yeah, this is mind-boggling, the whole thing, because I would tend to believe that the vast majority of people, and of course this is a guess, but I can't help but think that I'm absolutely right, the vast majority of people who affirm these things publicly, even as a matter of policy if they're in politics, I believe that the vast majority of people, whether you are leftist and lost or are a regenerate ambassador for Christ, we all believe in our heart of hearts and in the secret recesses of our minds, this is all garbage and a lie. I don't really believe any of these advocates for this stuff actually believe this. It's too laughably bizarre, and I say laughably, I don't mean to be insensitive of the seriousness of it, but it's you can't help but to realize that much of it is comically ridiculous. And even feminists, not all of them, some of them and too many of them are still too frightened of the backlash of leftists in power who promote LGBTQ agendas, but there are still feminists who are saying, wait a minute, this is wrong, this is garbage. And they're actually, on some occasions, becoming allies with conservative evangelicals who are opposed to feminism and egalitarianism. But it's interesting how sometimes on certain fronts we have, as Christians, interesting allies, not universally, but even in the issues of pornography and other things, evangelicals, Christians, Bible-believing Christians have had some feminist allies as well, knowing that this is very destructive for both men and women, but especially the women that are the victims of being used in pornography. But go ahead.
Absolutely. One of the things that I've written about before is that so many women who have said that they've faced barriers because of their sex, right? These are some of the most powerful women in media and industry. These are women who have been sports journalists, women in politics. When it comes to the transgender issue, they're completely silent because, to your point, they don't want to get on the wrong side of the gender activists. And as I've said before, and I was not trying to be funny, but it sounds that way, the feminists have finally found a group of men that they can submit to. Because when, you know, Richard Levine or Caitlyn Jenner or any of these other people say, I'm a woman, the women who spent their entire lives being women, feel powerless to speak up and say, no, you are a man. And part of this is because as people who have spent their entire life claiming to be oppressed, they are deeply, deeply uncomfortable with playing the role of the oppressor, quote unquote. So anyone who comes along who is further down in terms of the oppression totem pole, they feel that they have to do what's necessary to lift that person up, even if it's at their own expense.
Yeah, I think that I mentioned this recently on the show, may have mentioned it a number of times on the show, but I think this fear of even leftists being out of step with the accepted dogma of leftism, because it does change, it seems to be mutating and changing rapidly, but an obvious example of this fear is when Ketanji Brown Jackson was being interviewed before her confirmation into the Supreme Court, was asked the simple question, what is a woman? And out of fear of offending her leftist allies, she said, I'm not a biologist, I can't answer that. But the irony is that's not the leftist argument or doctrine of the left. They don't believe biology has anything to do with being a woman. So
Exactly.
So she misspoke. We have an anonymous listener who says, I have problems in my own congregation and the Christian company that I often keep from friends and brothers and sisters who rebuke me for being a Pharisee and judgmental when I complain about the fact that even hairstyles and manners of dress have been contributing greatly to the very problems that you are talking about. The forces that try to undermine God's design for men and women. Let's face it, there are many young people especially where you have to give them two or three or four or more looks before you even can determine what gender they belong to. Am I overstepping here? Am I really the Pharisee and the bigot that some of my friends claim?
I mean, I don't think that person is a bigot. It is somewhat strange sometimes to see, you know, the entire rainbow in a person's hair. And increasingly, it does feel as if our society wants to erase all of the lines of gender, right? So blur the line between man and woman and make us into some one big homogenous unisex blob. That'll never happen because, again, you can't. God is undefeated. And if he said he created male and female, then that's what we have. Now, we can fight against his creation just the same way we can fight against gravity. But every time you throw the apple up in the air, it's going to fall. It's going to come back down and hit you in your head. So I understand that. And my guess is that particular questioner is probably a little bit older, right? I doubt that they are millennial or Gen Z person. So sometimes it can seem strange to see boys who dress oftentimes in styles associated with girls and girls who do the same in terms of styles associated with boys. But it is quite common to see that nowadays, and sometimes it is difficult to tell whether an individual person is a boy or a girl. Sometimes because that's exactly what the person wants, right? There are people who claim to be non-binary. And really, Chris, that is the distinction that really should have given the entire game away. There are some people who say, oh, I don't have a gender at all. And that is such a patently absurd claim. But for whatever reason, we're still taking these things seriously. So,
yeah, my friends who are fundamentalists seem to be the few who are speaking out, I think, rightly against appearing as the opposite sex to what you are. Of course, I have to be quick to say many of them, and I'm not saying all of them, I'm not broad brushing, but many of my fundamentalist friends and acquaintances also elevate those things to such a high degree of importance that they eclipse the gospel. And sometimes their identification of certain clothing that they believe men shouldn't wear and certain clothing that women shouldn't wear have nothing to do with actually trying to appear either like you're androgynous or you're trying to look like the opposite sex. I think sometimes the criticism is off the charts and slanderous. But at the same time, in our reform circles, I don't think that those issues are addressed seriously enough or often enough. And I've been to many reformed conferences and churches where women are dressed in such a way where you wonder, why is that husband letting his wife dress that way? Because it's so sexually provocative is more in line of what I mean, not necessarily gender neutral stuff. Why are those parents letting their teenage daughter dress that way? And on and on. But thank you, Anonymous. And by the way, for any of our Anonymous listeners, if you're first-time questioners, please give us, off the air, of course, in an email, your full name, mailing address, so that you can receive a free New American Standard Bible. All first-time questioners on Iron Trip and Zion Radio receive a free New American Standard Bible. Compliments of the publishers of the NASB, who are one of our largest sponsors, and also compliments of Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com, who will ship that Bible out to you free of charge. We're going to our final break. It's going to be a shorter break than the other breaks. If you have a question for Delano Squires, please try to submit it as soon as we as you can, because we are running out of time. Again, the email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, city and state, and country of residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Delano Squires.
Hi, I'm Pete Hegseth, co-host of Fox and Friends Weekend. Now, I don't have to tell you, but American education, it's in a free fall, crumbling under the weight of a century of damage inflicted upon America's academic system. The answer? It's called classical Christian education, a form of K through 12 ed that's very distinct from the type of education most Americans have received, myself included. And that's why I'm so excited to have been invited by my friends at Long Island's Grace Christian Academy to talk about this wonderful growing movement and new approach rediscovered to education. It's at 7 p.m. October 15th at the Marriott Hotel and Conference Center in Melville, New York. I'll also be signing copies of my New York Times bestselling book, Battle for the American Mind, for the first 50 guests starting at 6 p.m. Now, this is a fundraising event designed to raise money to help grow this type of education at a time when it is so desperately needed. So please come ready to give and to learn about a way to stimulate academic revival in our great country. You can purchase tickets for the event by visiting gcali.com and following the link to the gala event. I hope to see you there.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here, excited to announce that my longtime friend Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and I are heading to Washington, D.C. for the G3 Ministries Regional Conference on the theme, Just Thinking About the Bible. The conference will be held Thursday, September 15th through Saturday, September 17th, and I'll be speaking along with Stephen Lawson, Josh Weiss, founder of G3 Ministries, and Daryl Bernard Harrison and Virgil Walker, co-hosts of the Just Thinking podcast. To register, visit g3min.org, that's g3min.org, and click on events. Your registration will include a ticket to the Museum of the Bible nearby the conference venue in Washington, D.C. So join me and Chris Arnzen, September 15th through the 17th in Washington, D.C. for the G3 Ministries Regional Conference. Register now before they run out of seats at g3min.org, that's g3min.org. Stop by the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Exhibitor booth and say hi to Chris Arnzen while you're there.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
Satan is the father of lies and spin, and the mother of those lies is a government who has rejected God. We have especially been lied to these last 2 years, and the COVID panic has been one of the central mechanisms that our government has used to lie to us and grab more power. Because Christians have not been reading their Bibles, we are susceptible to lies and are weak in our ability to fight these lies. God has given us His Word to fight Satan and his lies, and we need to recover all of God's Word, its serrated edge and all. Mark your calendars for October 6th through 8th as we fight, laugh, and feast to the glory of God in Knoxville, Tennessee. You'll be enlightened, edified, encouraged, and challenged by 10 speakers on the theme Lies, Propaganda, Storytelling, and the Serrated Edge, covering various topics that address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Speakers include Pastor Doug Wilson of Christ Church of Moscow, Idaho, and the whole gang at the Cross Politics Show and Podcast. For details, visit flfnetwork.com. That's F for fight, L for laugh, F for feast, network.com. See you there October 6th through 8th in Knoxville, Tennessee.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Attention all men in ministry leadership. You're all invited to my friend Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon, Thursday, September 22nd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, featuring me, James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, your keynote speaker. Not only will you enjoy a wonderful time of fellowship with your colleagues in ministry over a delicious meal, but you'll also receive dozens of free brand new books donated by Christian publishers all over the United States and the United Kingdom, personally selected by Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So if you're a pastor, an elder, a deacon, a parachurch leader, or any other man in ministry leadership, please register for the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon today by calling 631-291-7002. 631-291-7002, or by visiting ironsharpensironradio.com, ironsharpensironradio.com. This is James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries, hoping to see you Thursday, September 22nd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, for Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon.
And as I've already said, please, if you're a man in ministry leadership, register today for the free Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastors Luncheon, Thursday, September 22nd, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. in Perry County, Pennsylvania, Loysville to be exact. Send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com and put Pastors Luncheon in the subject line. Also, I want to take this time to thank my dear friend of many years, decades in fact, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for renewing his advertising contract with us. And we just got the check today, Dan, and we are so thrilled that you continue to support this program. If anybody needs a medical malpractice or personal injury attorney in no matter what state in the 50 states of the union you live in, call 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, and see if the law firm of Buttafuoco and Associates can take your case. And we are now back with Delano Squires. Delano, if you could, I don't want to have you not have your voice heard with exactly everything that you want us to focus upon today before we go off the air, obviously in a summary form. So if you could, give us what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today regarding this subject.
I think what I would most want listeners to take away is that God's design for man and woman is good, that he didn't make a mistake when he designed us the way that he did, and that people who struggle with their identity as it relates to their God-given sex, those people deserve our compassion, and we should love them by speaking to them truthfully about who they are and how it is that they were created. So, oftentimes these conversations get taken over by activists and ideologues, and I think there's a different response for those people. But ultimately, what I would want people to take away is that we are created beings, created in God's image, according to his word, Genesis 1:27, right? And that his design for humanity ultimately is for his glory, to his glory and for our good. So if I were to take away anything, it would be that reality and a hope that believers would not allow the twisted sense of compassion and inclusion, that would not prompt us to lie to people in order to protect our reputation, even if it means driving them further and further away from God.
We have BB in Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, who wants to know, have you lost any friendships and even become isolated from any family members and loved ones over your change for conservative views that have accompanied your salvation?
question. I mean, there are people who I know, that I may have went to school with or at different periods of my past who have been critical of some of the things that I've written. But my family, my wife, my best friend, my immediate and extended family are all pretty supportive. They may not agree with every position that I take, and I think there are a number of reasons for that, but ultimately, the people who are closest to me and who matter the most to me are very supportive of what I do. And it's not because I've become more conservative per se. It's because the people, particularly the Christians of my life, recognize that all I'm trying to do is to say exactly what the scriptures say. So now they may have issue with how I say certain things, and that's fine. And sometimes I take that back and I say, you know what? Maybe I should address the same issue in a slightly different way. But ultimately, my goal is to be biblical more than it is to be, political.
Amen.
When I break down these issues. Yeah.
Amen. We have Ronald in Eastern Suffolk County, Long Island, New York, who says, what is your counsel and opinion over reaching a balance when we have disagreements with those who are on the opposite side of the aisle politically and even outside of the Christian faith, or perhaps even inside the professing Christian faith, who are promoting such things as abortion, which should better be called infanticide or child murder, and the same-sex marriage issue? You have on the one hand people across the spectrum. If you begin on the left, they would be far too accommodating and want civility to be supreme in any disagreement, almost to the point of trivializing the matters over which we disagree. And then on the other end of the extreme of the spectrum, you have those who do nothing more than yell and shout and bully those who disagree with them. Where is the biblical balance?
That's a great question. I think the biblical balance has to start with, particularly for Christians, with the actual Bible. One of the biggest problems for Christians who want to engage in the culture wars, quote unquote, from whatever this direction they want to do so, is that they lay down their sword. Their first act when they get on the battlefield is to lay down their sword. So the scripture is, the Bible is the only thing that I have to judge the rightness or wrongness of any particular idea or position. I try not to insert my personal opinion. I just say, okay, if God said he created male and female, then I believe him. If he said he created marriage to be between one man and one woman for one lifetime, then I believe him. So, once we establish what our standard is, right, we hold the scripture as a ruler in one hand and any other opinion as a crooked stick in the other. And the key is to never confuse which one is used to measure the other. So ultimately, I believe that I believe in being winsome. I know that's an overused term, but winsome doesn't mean soft, and it doesn't mean accommodating wickedness or evil.
By the way, that was my favorite cigarette when I used to smoke. I'm only kidding.
So,
I always hated menthol. That was a joke.
Right. So there's a way in which you can speak the truth honestly, boldly, forcefully, without attacking people. That being said, 90% of the criticism, as intense as it may get, that Christians get for their stances on these issues, 90% of that criticism is the stance itself. It's not how it's delivered, because no matter how gently or winsomely you tell two people that a marriage is meant for one man and one woman, they are going to say that's bigoted, that's homophobic, that's transphobic, and that you're a bad person for holding that view, which is why that all these attacks ultimately come down to attacks on the authority and sufficiency of the scriptures. So it's, the gospel is offensive enough to people, there's generally no need for us to add any extra sauce on top of that. So that's the way I typically go at it.
Amen. We're out of time. Remember, folks, if you would like to attend the G3 conference, where Delano is one of the speakers on the roster, next week, September 15th, 16th, and 17th in Washington, D.C., go to g3men.org, g3men.org. I want to thank you so much, Delano, for being a fantastic guest. I look forward to you returning frequently. I want everybody to have a safe, happy, joyful, and Christ-honoring weekend and Lord's Day. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.
Amen.